Welcome to Center Friends. Bow our heads for a moment. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today, and just clear our hearts and minds, focus on you, and in your heavenly name, amen. Please turn to hymn number 270.
Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the ability to gather as a body of believers so that we can lift you up. We can lift each other up. We can study the word. We can hear the message of the gospel and allow the Holy Spirit to fill this place as we worship you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I apologize for sounding so, for lack of a better word, snotty this morning. My allergies are acting up. So if you will forgive me, I will be waving from the pulpit this morning when we close just to ensure that it is allergies. But bear with me, I got some water up here, so if I get into a coughing fit, please just forgive me. Welcome to Center Friends this morning. We're so glad you're here. It's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful day to celebrate our fellowship with each other, our fellowship with the Lord, and our post-resurrection Sunday. It's a great day. If you would take your bulletins and let's look at the announcements this morning. There are a few on the right side page there that you need to take note of. If you would look, we're just collecting the recognition of women notes for Mother's Day. So there's an announcement about that, and you can place the forms, if you have those with you, in the offering plate. You can give those to myself or an elder or a member of Christian Education. They'll be more than happy to get those to the right person. Monday, we have a spring fling, Monday, May 6th, for Quaker men. That does not mean you have to be a member of this meeting. It just means you need to be a male, and you come and fellowship with us. So please invite your friends, your neighbors, yourself, and come at 6:03 and enjoy a spring fling. There'll be a meal here at Center. We're hosting it, so we would love to have the best turnout of all the meetings. So please come and join us, and the cost for that is $10. We'll take a note of the Christian Education there for graduation Sunday. They're going to need to get some information about graduates, so get that in on time. Are there any others that someone wants to hit on, the golf tournament or the baked potato soup and soup lunch? Anybody?
The baked potato and soup lunch that's on Sunday, May 19th, is to raise funds for our kids here at Center to go to Quaker Lake. So it's a little bit different than the golf tournament. The golf tournament raises money for Quaker Lake. The soup and baked potato lunch is going to raise money for our kids to be able to go. In the past, sometimes we've had a car wash or other kinds of luncheons. So this year, we're doing the baked potato and soup lunch on Sunday, May 19th. So make plans to stay for lunch that day.
Also, we mentioned that today is FEMAP Collection Sunday, so our youth will be coming around during a special time after children's moments to collect the items that may be at the end of your pews. So if you would gather those together at the appropriate time, they'll come and get those together, and then that will be sent to FEMAP to provide those in need. Also, we had Secret Church on Friday here. If you missed that, you missed an awesome time of studying God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. It was a six-hour Bible blitz that covered fasting and prayer, and it discussed each book of the Bible and where fasting and prayer applies to those books. It was a simulcast. So I told some folks that were with us, there were seven of us there that gathered in the fellowship hall, and I will tell you that there's no reason none of us can stay up late for church, because our oldest living member stayed up till 2 a.m. with us and helped us clean up, and Mary was there rocking it with us late at night. So none of us have an excuse to be able to not stay in the evening service or evening activity for church, because Mary showed us all up. So are there any other announcements?
Just to add to the golf tournament, we still are in need of things for door prizes, and we need hole sponsors. So if anyone has it in their heart to sponsor a hole at the Quaker Lake Golf Tournament, you can do it for any reason you want. You can do it in memory of someone, in honor of someone, business name, anything that you would. You can put your own name on there. But they need hole sponsors and still need players also. So if you play golf, get a registration form and fill it out, and come and have a good time. May 18th.
David, do you know how many holes are not sponsored?
How many holes are not sponsored?
How many sponsors do they need yet?
We can put multiple sponsors on.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes, yes. So the sky's the limit.
Any other announcements? If not, our ushers come forward, please. Let's pray over our offerings. Holy Father, we come to you with hearts of thanksgiving, hearts of joy and praise. We come to you as a body that has needs and has wants, but we need and want those things in your will and in your time and through your direction. Lord, we ask as we give these offerings, as we place these sacrifices to the church in the plates, from our hearts, that it be in the spirit of Christian giving, that we're reminded that as a sacrifice on the cross was made, that we can sacrifice just a small portion of ourselves to the glory of you and to the furtherment of your kingdom. Lord, take these offerings and bless them. Give us direction and guidance on how we best use them so that we can reach the ends of the earth with the message of the gospel. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Today we're going to read a book called The Lord's Prayer. So does anyone know what the Lord's Prayer is? It's a prayer that a lot of people pray, and this book is sort of showing it in real life. Our Father in heaven, what do you see in this picture? Yeah. Hallowed be your name. Do you see here? You see the car, and it says, it's basically a lawn care and painting. Company. What do you see in this picture? They're getting some supplies and looks like they're getting some food. Your kingdom come. Yeah. will be done. So do you think that might be the older lady's house? Yeah. We'll drive into it. On earth as it is in heaven. So they're going up to her house, and they have a rake, and they have a toolbox, it looks like. What do you think they're going to do? They might fix up their house. Right? And here's some more pictures. It's like they're painting, and they're raking lawn, and they're fixing the fence. Yeah, so they're being kind and helping out. What do you see here? Say the girl found something in the grass, right? What do you think it is? Maybe a charm or something? Give us this day our daily bread. Let me see here. Yeah. Say the yard looks a lot nicer and looks like they're feeding it to the birds. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So he's refusing the money. The older lady's trying to give him money for helping out and fixing their yard, but he's saying, no, I don't want it. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So the little girl's sort of studying what she found in the yard, right? What do you see here? Like, do you know what's happening here? No. See, it looks like the little girl is giving back whatever she found to the older lady. She's looking at it. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So, what do you see here? It looks like the lady's giving, maybe making a necklace for the little girl to wear the thing she found on. Forever. Now look, if you look closely on the little charm on her necklace, do you see what it says? It's stating the Lord's Prayer. Is that like them? Yeah? Amen. So today we're showing God's love and collecting toothbrushes and toothpaste for the FEMAP collection and people in need. So let's pray first. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us all come together, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to show your love and help out people in need. Help us all come back next week and show your kindness and love. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you.
think that one bag was bigger than Rose. She was toting it along. At this time, let's look at our praises and prayer requests this morning. Anyone have a God moment they want to share this week? Happened to them, or a praise? I will say there's a praise for Caroline Heiss. Sharon and I were talking this morning, and if you've kept up with the updates, some of the big ugly words like tumor have been cleared up and erased from her medical conversation. So we will say that her head is clear, but her brain is still there. We definitely know that. But her head is clear. So we're so thankful that it may be something less concerning and something that is livable and treatable and something that she can deal with and control on her own. So as they go through more testing and conversation, that the answer becomes more clear. But for right now, the big ugly words have been taken away from the conversation. So that is definitely a praise for our young person, Caroline. Are there any other praises this morning?
Preston Ryan, he has gone through some chemotherapy.
Please keep my brother.
All right, that's Tom Cole, Sandy's brother. I ask that you keep me in prayer as I continue to heal. I had a sickness this week and something a little scare and was able to get that cleared up. So now that just pray that my nose will clear up and everything else will be back to normal so I can continue serving you. Dad?
Yeah, I'd like to put my brother Doug on his prayer list. He's been losing weight real fast, and I thought it's going to don't look good, but they don't know what's wrong yet.
Okay, that's Doug Sweeter.
Any others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we come to you, but we just love you. We love you for the things that you do, the things that you have done, and the things that you will do. We love you for the power that you exalt over us, that you show us in different ways, whether it be through the weather or through the sun shining or the birds singing or through a medical healing. Let us be reminded that that is your power. That you give science and you give the knowledge to the doctors that they can make the best decisions. But we know as a fallen world that failed you in the beginning, that we have to deal with darkness and things that call our faith into question. Lord, as people go through chemo treatments, Tom Cole, Preston Ryan, any of those that are dealing with that evil cancer, Lord, that you touch them and you give them strength and you give them hope. Let them see the light. Let them see you working around them and the Holy Spirit within them that can heal them and can give doctors understanding and knowledge to make the best decisions. Lord, I ask that you be with Doug Sluter today as he may be going through a medical issue. That you give him the patience and the forethought to go seek medical treatment, that he can make best decisions for his health, and that he understands that that is an important, that he has a role here on earth, and that his medical needs and his health are vitally important, that he goes and seeks the testing or the wisdom to figure out what may be going on. Lord, as we come to you with needs, we recognize that you do show yourself to us, that we are in constant revelation of your awesomeness. And we see that in Caroline Heiss. We see that in a clear scan. We see that you've removed all the ugly, evil words. that don't deserve to be spoken from her medical history, that you've learned, you've removed those from possibilities. She may have a long road to go, but it's not something that can not be treatable or be able to be lived with and controlled. We're just so thankful that you've touched her young body and her young mind, and that you've given her mom patience and you've given her a soft heart. I pray that that we thank you for giving her father understanding and clarity. You've cleared his vision so that he can see God working in his daughter. Lord, the needs are great, the wants are many, but the miracles overcome all. And we recognize that today. And any unspoken request that's here today, you know the needs, you know the desires of people's hearts and their emotions. You know what's going on with them physically, mentally, spiritually. Place them in your hand. Cover them with your grace. And show them the light that is working inside of them. We thank you for your revelation. We thank you for the cross, and we thank you for your Son who died and rose again for our sins. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. This morning's message is a particularly important one because it applies to everyone here. it applies to everyone out there. They taught us in grad school, especially in the homiletics class, which is basically the study of how to preach, that sometimes when you deliver a sermon that you may not reach every person. And I've talked with a few of you, and sometimes a message will resonate with you, and sometimes something else may be on your mind, a grocery list, or a to-do list, or allergies, or just something else that's just not worth being on your mind while you're listening to God's Word. I promise you this morning that if you center down, if you truly listen to the words that God is giving and using me as the vessel to deliver His message, that you will place yourself in one of the aspects of my message, or actually God's message. So it addresses every person in every situation. Whether you're at your rock bottom or your highest peak, this message will reach you if you allow it to. And at some point, whether it's now or if it's our young folks, whether they get older, you will find yourself on the road to Emmaus. You'll find yourself at a meeting at the crossroad. And you notice in the bulletin that the cross is in quotations. That's a very important crossroad where we see Jesus. So before we get started, I would love to open our message in a word of prayer and allow the Spirit to kind of clear our hearts and our minds. Take that deep breath and just let it out. Let all the stuff go so that God can penetrate us this morning with what He wants us to hear. Let us pray. Lord, today as use me as we deliver the message of the gospel, let my words be yours. Let my ears be opened to whatever you're telling. Touch each one here today. Clear their minds. Clear their palates. Clear their plates. Just for a few minutes, if need be. All the worries and troubles, let them be shaken off so that we can focus on the message of the gospel and the message of Jesus and His revelation to these two folks on the road to Emmaus. Lord, use me in a way that is pleasing to you, and use each one of us as we depart this place according to your design and your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at the scripture this morning in a form of scenes, but we're going to break it down scene by scene. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to take them and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, we'll be looking at verses 13 through 35. And this section is called On the Road to Emmaus. Luke 24, 13 through 35. And it's written, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing Him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked them, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' 'What things?' Jesus asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So what we have here is a series of scenes. It's a fairly lengthy little story, but we'll break it down into scenes. And there's four scenes. So scene number one, you have two travelers walking the lonely road to Emmaus, and they're walking from Jerusalem. And it says they're 7 miles from Jerusalem going to Emmaus, where Cleopas lived. And we don't know who the other person is, and there's nothing in any commentaries that can give any definitive answer of who his traveler mate was. So we don't know. It's just an unknown person. But they were leaving Jerusalem on the same day. So when it says the same day, they're talking about the same day of the resurrection. This is still talking about that morning. This is later in the day. And they were there and they'd heard that the tomb had been discovered empty. And based off what we see here, that they knew about the crucifixion, they knew about who Jesus was, and they knew that he had been tried and sentenced to death. But they also gave some skepticism as to the empty tomb. They were saddened by the death of the one they had placed their hope in. Their hope had been snuffed out by the hanging of a man and the finding of an empty grave. They didn't have a full understanding of what had just happened. So they left confused and sad, maybe lost. You have the second scene, Jesus walking up beside of them and posing three questions. The two were kept from recognizing Jesus. It doesn't say that they just didn't recognize him on their own. It says they were kept from recognizing Jesus. Maybe a gradual revelation. Maybe waiting until they get to the table. But Jesus asked three questions. In verse 17, he says, what are you two talking about, basically? What are y'all talking about? And they said, really? Have you been living under a rock? No, they've been living behind a rock. But you've been living under a rock, you don't know what's been going on. They just killed the guy that was supposed to save Israel, supposed to save us. Where have you been? And he's like, what are you talking about? What things? Jesus asked in verse 19. The two proceeded to tell him that they had, chief priests had killed their hope. But they say something that's important, and they say, but we had hope, in past tense. So at that moment, when Jesus is talking and they're with him on the road, they had no hope. It doesn't say we have hope, it says we had hope. And they didn't understand that the discovery of the empty tomb and the crucifixion was actually the hope they were having. So they didn't quite understand that. And they said the Messiah was going to save us. But it's the third day and he was supposed to return. And some of our women folk went to the tomb and said the tomb was empty. And then saw some angels. And angel says, he's gone. But they didn't see Jesus. Because their finite minds could not wrap around the fact that the flesh had been raised. And they couldn't understand what all Jesus had said about the kingdom of heaven coming. And him being the Son of God. So Jesus tells them, how foolish you are. How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter their glory? It's almost like, did I not tell y'all? Do you not understand what I'm trying to say? Do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? Is what Jesus is saying. And then he says, but I'm going to show you. So who begins to recite the scriptures that talk about Jesus and talk about all the things that were going to happen? And he discusses the prophets from Moses to Isaiah. And he says, see, I'm going to show you what has happened. Then you have scene three, the conviction of the heart. They arrive at the village and invited Jesus in. That's an important thing because it says Jesus continued on as if he were going to continue farther. Jesus was wanting to know if they were going to invite him in. And he was going to continue on. And they insisted that he come and spend the evening with them because it was getting late. And so they broke bread together. They communed together. They fellowshipped together with this guy who apparently had been living behind a rock and didn't know what was going on. And it was at that moment that they saw who they were actually having dinner with. And then he disappears in that instant. And here comes the conviction of their hearts. They say, upon seeing Jesus, they were convicted and said, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us? They even say, he was right there. He told us the scriptures. I don't think he pulled out a Bible and started reading. He spoke them. The conviction of the heart. And then the final scene, the proclamation. They immediately, it says here, they immediately got up. They left at once. Now it's 7 miles they've walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they, it's evening, and they got up and went back to Jerusalem that instant and proclaimed it is true. They had seen the risen Savior. They went back to folks to say, huh, we saw him. So what does that mean for us? What does that, how does that set up for us? It's a pretty simple story if you think about it. You've got two guys walking on a road who see Jesus. He invites them to dinner. And then they're convicted. So let's go back to scene one. I call this disbelief. Scene one, disbelief. Cleopas had a preconceived idea of what the prophecy was supposed to look like. He understood in his mind that Jesus was supposed to restore Israel. It was supposed to be a physical Messiah. A physical person was supposed to rule. Remember we talked about in the triumphal entry that when Jesus rode in on the donkey that he was supposed to come in and just overthrow everything. But he came in on the donkey, not the horse. So Cleopas didn't have this idea of, he didn't understand that this Messiah was supposed to come in the fashion of the resurrection. Sometimes we operate on a preconceived notion of what we think God should do. This becomes a sticking point for many people who may be considering becoming a Christian. Our expectations of God in our life far exceed the expectations we have for ourselves. We'll say that one again. Our expectations of God in our life far exceed the expectations we place on ourselves. Is that really fair? Many all over the world are on the road to Emmaus today. Their hope is gone. They have sadness and despair, feeling of being lost, nowhere to go. There are those who, many like during the actual resurrection, meet it with skepticism. Ain't no way that guy rose up out of that tomb. Something had to have happened. Well, we pretty much covered that last week, believe it or not. The leaders didn't steal the body because that would fulfill what they considered the false prophecy. His friends couldn't have done it because the guards were there. So, skepticism is still there. Scene one is disbelief. Scene two, what I call the word. Jesus walked up on them, began to ask questions. He already knew what they were talking about. He was already there walking with them. He just made himself visible. But a simple conversation led to something huge. In listening to their story, he approached them with the news to the contrary. He actually questioned their faith. Cleopas even admits to having lost the faith. Remember, we had hope. We had hoped in the past tense. How many today gain hope in the resurrection, in the instance of the resurrection, only to lose it at the first sight of trouble? It goes back to the expectations of God. How many of us, and I've done it, praise the Lord, He's resurrected, He lives again, I believe in Him, He died for me. I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. And then all of a sudden something happens and it's, all right, where are you at, God? Let's take it one step further. How many today have hope in Christ for 1 hour on Sunday only to lose it at lunch and return to the life fit for a sinner? How foolish, Jesus says. How foolish are we for not believing in what we were told in the Scripture? See, we have the book. We actually have something to read that can say, this is what happened. This is what's going to happen. Our hope is here. If our faith is grounded in the foundation of the cross, why are we so doubtful? Personally, when Jesus calls the guys out there on the road and says, how foolish are we? I actually feel disciplined in my own life. I actually felt bad in my spiritual life and said, you know what? That's me. I've had those times. I know what my faith is, and yet my sinful nature allows the darkness to push it out. But just as Jesus tells them, the message is in the Scriptures. Jesus tells them about the prophecies. And we can read about that right here. So just how foolish are we? The third scene, I call personal invitation. When I read this, I think of the picture of Jesus standing at the door knocking and waiting. We all know the one in the fellowship hall, waiting to be let in. Here we have the same setup. Jesus was going to continue until they invited him. They insisted he come in. Inviting Christ into our lives is the single most important thing you will ever do. There is nothing more important than establishing the relationship with the Father. Many times we walk with Him in faith, and yet we still leave Him at the door. We'll pick Him back up when we walk outside. We'll get Him out of the mailbox. Are there times that we pause our connection and leave Him at the door waiting? Sure. We can't help it. It's the fall of man. Leaving God and doing our own thing. But where it can turn is at the conviction of the heart, where two separate lives merge into one that we consciously place Christ in the center of. They sat down and had dinner with Jesus. The risen Christ was revealed. It was in the invitation into His home that they were able to confirm the resurrection. Christ is waiting to be invited to our dinner tables, our breakfast nooks, our desks, our cars, our workplaces, our family gatherings. He's even waited to be invited into our churches. That one kind of hurt. It's the burning conviction of the heart, the renewal of faith, and that acknowledgement of the Scriptures where we are revealed. We can see God. He's revealed to us. The light is shining. We can see it every day. In the last scene, I call evangelism. That's a scary word. Evangelism is a scary word. It's been twisted in all kinds of ways. Will we proclaim the truth behind the resurrection? They traveled all the way back to Jerusalem on foot, 7 miles away, proclaiming it is true. Are we telling the world it's true? Cleopas and his friend went from a long walk of anguish to a sprint of proclamation by way of a meal of revelation. That's a lot of words. I'm going to repeat that one. Cleopas and his friend went from a long walk of anguish to a sprint of proclamation through a meal of revelation. Where are we as a church in this scene? We should be sprinting, not sitting. We should be shouting, not silent. We should be praising, not pretending. Jesus Christ lives. It is true. Which scene are you at? A told you there's a scene for everybody. This message is universal. This story is a great example of a believer's journey to the cross. Maybe you're still on the road walking in disbelief or disappointment. Now is the time to simply ask God to work in your life. There aren't special words or ceremonies. It's just a quiet conversation between you and Him. Maybe you're still walking the road to Emmaus. Maybe your hope has been questioned. Are you at a crossroad or on the road to the cross? Maybe you're at scene three and are starting to feel convicted about your own spiritual blindness. Take this opportunity as we quiet down to ask God to place a spirit of renewal in your heart. Maybe you just need to be re-energized. We have to have it. We get spiritually exhausted. Maybe you just need to say, God, just renew me. Renew my energy for you, my love for you, my heart for you. Reveal yourself to me. Whatever situation you're encountering, He's walking with you. He's waiting to break bread with you so He can reveal Himself to you. He's waiting for you to invite Him in. And praise God if you're at scene four. Proclaiming His power over death. Believing He's alive. Use this time to pray that you are given the ability to continue to submit to His will. And you give the energy and the drive to continue His mission. Because at some point we have hit all of these scenes, from disbelief to studying the Word and trying to understand and getting our hope back, to inviting Him in, to proclaiming His name. No matter where you are on your journey to Emmaus, no matter what crossroad you're at, pray and listen to what God is leading you to do. To keep the story of the resurrection of the only Lord and Savior alive. And remember that Cleopas said, "It is true."
Thank you, Tommy. Please stand and turn to hymn number 240 and Ferris Lord Jesus verses 1 and 4.
Of the Lord and the grace of God go with each one of us as we go out today and deliver the message of the cross. What phase you may be in, what scene you may be in, may the Lord touch you and that the revelation of Jesus Christ be made to you today. Be a gift to someone today. Thank you. Amen. God bless you.